Folks, if you love Mega like we think you do, do us a small favor. Join the Patreon. It's the number one way to support a small podcast like ours. The year we had was, well, I wouldn't say we didn't get our asses kicked with strikes and podcasting budgets getting slashed. So why not just head over and give it a try? You can do a free trial on Patreon. If that's not in your plan, at the very least, share your favorite episode of Mega with a friend and leave us a review and a 5-star rating on Apple Podcast. We'd love to keep going, and we can't do it without you. Thanks. I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but when my friend Clay Mason Bannerman and I want to impress our new lady friends, Tiffer and Mickey, we don't even have to take them to a restaurant. That's because we have an entire freezer stocked full of ButcherBox, and that includes high-quality meat and seafood that we can trust. It's so convenient. It's delivered right to our doorstep, and there's always free shipping. I mean, where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Tiffer and Mickey love it, and so will you. At least one of them is always around asking when the new ButcherBox is arriving. Sign up at butcherbox.com/mega and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/mega and use code MEGA to choose your free for a year offer plus $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here. Lord, we are here. And we're ready.
Ready
to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where we're giving our mega church a tiny family feel by introducing you to members of our church staff and community. You're going to be blessed by them. It is a treat and a treasure. As always, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Hides, everybody.
Hey, Hallie, how you doing? So nice to see you.
Oh, I am so blessed. Now, what is happening with your kids coming to Climax?
Well, it was just like a Marvin Gaye song this weekend, Hallie.
Sexually healing?
No, I heard it through the grapevine.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I had two of my best ladies come to me and basically say, Gray, we need to talk.
Okay, good.
And they said, we know too much about sex.
Oh, no.
I panicked, Hallie. I just said, okay, come in here. I closed my office door and I said, talk to me. And they go, it's not what you think, Gray. We're actually learning about sex for an hour every single week in school, in sex education.
Oh, no.
And I just said, you know what, ladies? That's just way too much. And
an hour a week?
An hour every single week.
These kids need to be focusing on that for an hour.
It really adds up. So I just said, okay, you know, we've got to do something about this. So what I did, Hallie, this weekend is I came up with my very own sex education.
Awesome. Gray.
I know. And I call it Gray's Anatomy.
Gray's Anatomy.
Isn't that cool?
That's awesome.
And so what I did, Hallie, I just said, we're going to keep this very simple, and I'm going to teach you everything you need to know in one 30-minute lesson.
There you go.
And so what I did is I put up these two pictures.
Okay. Just a line drawing of a man, a line drawing of a woman, and all their dirty parts are just blacked out.
That's right. Completely crossed out.
Okay.
And I just said, okay, guys, listen up. Here's what you got to remember. No look, no touch, no rub, no punch.
No look, no touch, no rub, no munch.
No
look, no touch, no rub, no munch.
No punch.
Punch?
No punch. Yeah,
like
you know,
fruit punch?
No, like you know how teen guys, they're always sort of punching each other in the nibbies.
Oh, okay, you don't want that.
Right.
Okay, no punch.
And I just said, guys, that's all you need to know. And basically...
Simple.
Yeah, you don't need to know how any of those parts work until, you know, you're at least 21 or married or whatever comes first, hopefully marriage.
That's good.
And I think it went over so great, Hallie.
That is awesome. And they need to hear it from someone like you who's going to give them a God-honoring, you know, Grey's Anatomy sex education.
That is right. How was your weekend?
It was so good. It was the first time our weekend services have had all the smart seats installed in the auditorium.
It is amazing. It is like going to church in the future. It's beautiful when you see all those screens glowing.
It's really, really cool. And we've been headed this way for a long time, and we're finally there. All of the seats are not just padded and comfortable for you to sit in, like the best possible movie theater seats, but now they're all smart seats, which means every single seat in our whole auditorium, in the mezzanine balcony, main floor, everything, they are smart, and they are online, and they are wired. You can get Facebook on there, you can get TikTok, you can get anything.
I love it.
You can just ask your seat, hey, Google, where do you find the Ten Commandments? And it'll give you the Bible reference right there.
That is awesome.
It's so cool. And the reason that Senior Pastor Steve had them installed, he wanted smart seats in the auditorium so he can start polling the audience in real time.
Right.
You know, while he's doing his messages, and he did it this weekend for the first time, and it was so awesome. I was sitting there in the 11 a.m. service on Sunday, and the guy next to me, he kept playing Animal Crossing on his smart seat, and I was trying to give him some side eye, but he was really only doing it during, like, you know, offering, so, you know, no big deal. But Steve did this awesome weekend service. The message was called What's Your Status?
Oh, cool.
And he put up this great graphic that looks exactly like Facebook because, you know, he's topical. We do things that are relevant, that are modern. Everybody loves Facebook, and we want everybody to love Christ.
Yeah, I love it when he uses Facebook to talk about Jesus because, you know, he's everywhere, he knows everything, and, you know, you kind of can't get away from him.
Just like Facebook.
I know.
That's so cool. So, yeah. Steve does such a great job using things that are in people's lives. And he hit a home run with this one, Gray. He used the Facebook relationship status, you know, single, married, divorced, it's complicated, as a sermon illustration about our relationship with Christ.
Cool.
He was able to tie every type of relationship status to how we relate to God. So, okay, here, I'll give you examples and you guess which status he's describing between us and Jesus.
Okay? Oh, great. I love this.
Okay,
I'm really
okay,
good at guessing games.
Good. So, Gray, let's say it's feeling new and exciting and you're still getting to know each other, then maybe your relationship status with Jesus is?
Single?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Yes,
okay,
like
cool.
You're flirting with the idea of committing your life to Christ.
Totally.
Okay, how about this one? So maybe you are committed and it feels final.
Widowed.
No, that one's married. Or how about this one? Maybe you feel abandoned or betrayed by God.
Kind of sounds married, but I'm going to go widowed.
No, divorced. Okay, try this one. Maybe you feel dedicated, but it's hard to say what's happening between you two. And the harder you try, the more confused you feel maybe in this relationship. And so you just decide to maybe, I don't know, stay up and watch Downton Abbey all by yourself into the wee hours of the morning because it's actually easier to just be alone than to try to figure out what they're thinking.
Okay, that one's definitely got to be married.
It's complicated.
Huh, okay. Well, what did most people say when you polled them about their relationship with Christ?
Well, most people said it's complicated, but I think that's just like, you know, voter fraud. Nobody trusts voting anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Nowadays.
Yeah, voting doesn't work.
No. Anyway, I brought up the weekend message with my son, Day, because, you know, I'm trying to have a meaningful conversation with him. And so I said, hey, Day, how would you describe your relationship with Christ? What's your status? You know,
right.
He goes, Mom, nobody under the age of 50 uses Facebook. That's dumb.
Well, he's sort of right about that.
And so I said, Day, I want to know. Define the relationship. DTR. And he goes, Mom, nobody under the age of 50 says DTR.
Right. He's also right.
And I said, just indulge me, Day. And so he goes, well, I honestly don't understand the question, Mom. I think it's weird to say you're in a relationship with somebody who's not even a person and you can't touch him or call him or ever see him or hear him. And I said, I do hear from Jesus, Day. I prayed for a good parking space today and Jesus got me one. And Day said, well, you know what, Mom? I'm going to Google it. And he Googles it and he goes, I can't find it anywhere in the Bible that to be in a relationship with Jesus, it's not biblical to say in a relationship with God.
What?
And, or ask Jesus into your heart. And he said,
yeah, it is, I think.
I know. And so I said, okay, Google, what's the Bible reference for relationship with Jesus? And it said, I don't understand the question. I said, okay, Google, Bible reference, ask Jesus into your heart. And then it just spouted off something about a Billy Graham crusade in the 1970s. And then Day got really scared because he said crusades are terrible events in history.
Right. Maybe you should have used like ask Jeeves or something.
So eventually I just said, Day, I feel sorry for you that you don't feel like you have a beautiful relationship with your creator like I do. And he said, honestly, Mom, the way you talk about it sounds like somebody who can't get a date to the prom and just says they have a girlfriend in Canada.
Ugh,
speaking
so
of,
pathetic.
Hey, Gray, how is it going with that girl that you were talking to in Ohio?
Oh, Mango.
Minka.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's going really good.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Just like Jesus broke bread with his buds before he died, our guest today breaks bread every single day. Please welcome Ron Hopper.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Good to see you, Ron.
Hey, Ron, you just absolutely covered head to foot in a, I guess, what is that, flour?
Yeah, it's flour. I'm in the middle of a work day, but I'm happy to be here.
Just to give the listeners some context, Ron works in our bakery here on campus, and Ron, you are in charge of basically baking all the bread for communion, isn't that right?
Yeah, that was something.
Recently we did, we did cancel our contract with Nabisco that used to provide all the communion bread, and then I guess we're doing it all in-house now, so I can see how that would be very stressful.
I never thought I would compete with somebody like Nabisco. You know, that to me, I grew up just adoring those little Keebler elves. Those guys were just, my heroes.
Totally.
That's true.
And then I got an opportunity to do it. But I like I said, I didn't understand what I really was getting into. This is a big deal.
You look very tired. I'm just wondering, you know, with stress like this, has it caused any problems in your life outside of work? Not that you have a life outside of work right now.
Well, you know, I Yes, to be honest, yes. I was, you know, like a lot of people that go into baking, it was a second career for me after all the troubles. And now that I've found solace in the bakery, but now the stress, like you said, the stress is really amping up, and I feel like maybe some of the troubles are returning.
Right. And when you say troubles, are you talking about Northern Ireland, or are you talking about just personal troubles?
No, personal troubles. Irish influence, maybe. I drank a lot before.
Okay.
I had those kind of troubles.
Right.
Oh, are you Irish? I mean, I noticed you have bright red hair and that cute bright red goatee.
Yeah. My family is part Irish, part Italian, and I didn't want, you know, I don't want to perpetuate any stereotypes, but I don't think it's the Italian part that got me drinking in the first place.
That's a deadly mix.
Yeah.
If it's not drinking on one side, it's going to be pizza or something on the other side.
Yeah, which was I was very happy my Italian grandparents, they gave me a love of bread and dough and baking and cooking, celebrating around the table. And then of course the other side was trying to escape that and trying to go down to the ale house and enjoy themselves and try and stay away from the family. So I've always been a little conflicted, and it's like the good and evil on either side of my each shoulder. And sometimes one wins and sometimes the other wins. And for a long time I was drinking a lot, and I was like I said, that was part of the troubles. And then I thought that the Italian side, that the baking side, was going to prevail, and it seems like it hasn't until in the last couple weeks.
Right.
Well, you know what, Ron? I just, an idea came to mind, and this might be the Holy Spirit giving me a prompting to give you. And I just wanted to tell you an idea I had while you were talking is, if you ever want a plan B to running the Body of Christ Bakery, I bet you could go up to South Bend to Notre Dame. And have you ever been to a Notre Dame football game?
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up.
Oh no, it sounds like something maybe bad happened at a Notre Dame football game.
Well, I don't know if it was bad. I don't remember much of it, but I do know that they like to tailgate there. And I, again, back when I was, the drinking side was a little bit more prevalent in my life. I used to go up there a lot, and I'm not allowed to anymore, but I would love to. I mean, I understand what you're saying. It's a beautiful campus.
It's so neat. They do all that, pregame fun stuff with the grotto and the band going all the way from the grotto to the field. But my favorite part, and they do have the airplanes flying over, but the thing I love the most is how they have that little Fighting Irish, what's it called? He's a mascot or whatever, and he's all dressed up like a leprechaun. He's got the green outfit on and the green top hat. Yep. But he looks just like you with the red hair and the red beard.
Yep.
And like, if you could do a backflip or something, you could become that leprechaun up there in South Bend.
Yep, that's what I heard. That's what they told me at the tailgate. And after a couple kegs, I ran down on the field to tackle that son of a bee, because I just couldn't take it anymore. If one more person called me that leprechaun, right? I was gonna, and I could see. I know I was way up in the seats there, but I'm telling you, his little beady eyes were glaring down on me, and I just felt him staring right into my soul. And I just. I ran down there. I took my clothes off so no one would mistake me, and I tackled that little man and chipped a tooth. I can't say I regret doing it, but I do regret that I can't go on that campus anymore.
Oh, that's a shame, because it's a beautiful campus, and you would have been perfect. Because what are you, 5'1", 5'2"? Are you even 5 foot? What height are you?
I am all of 5'3".
You're 5'3"? That's awesome. Is that because of that hat? I like that hat you're wearing.
You know, the hat is probably why people say that, because it does look, it's a little green hat and it's got a buckle on it. And I just, you know, maybe I'm wondering if that's why people sort of make the comparison to the Notre Dame guy.
I never thought of that, but...
Oh, really? I mean, it looks exactly like it.
No, well, that's not why I do it. The buckle on my hat is to match the buckles on my high heel shoes.
Right.
And it has nothing really to do with trying to just, I just like the style.
Oh, yeah. I like a fella who coordinates.
You know, maybe we should look at the silver lining here, which is, you know, yes, you did have a problem with the troubles of drinking. Yes, you're pretty stressed at work, and you've got sort of these Irish tendencies. But at least with the Italian part, you've never had to worry about, you know, the mafia or something like that.
I wouldn't say that completely.
Oh, no.
I wouldn't say that at all,
oh,
actually.
Oh, no. Have you been threatened like in Godfather?
Well, you know, this isn't my first bake shop. I had
oh.
a...
Oh,
no.
Yeah, I was in... I was started on the East Coast, and, you know, in certain neighborhoods, when you have a little success, you have to pay a tax to certain people.
Okay.
Oh.
And it was kind of unfortunate that it was an uncle of mine who...
Okay.
But I cannot say that they were in the mafia.
Okay.
But
okay.
I did have to pay a lot of money to some Italian businessmen.
Oh.
Okay.
That would show up at my back door occasionally.
Okay.
Oh, got it. Okay. Well, I'm awful glad you're within the safe confines of Twin Hills. Now here on campus, nobody's going to mess with you.
No, that's true. Do a lot of people hear this?
I could pray a hedge of protection around you, and I could surround you with angels who would protect you, and I can keep you on my daily prayer list.
Well, that would be helpful. That's a lot nicer than what they called me in New Jersey.
Oh, what did they call you in New Jersey?
What did they call you?
A rat.
Oh, I see.
Oh, a rat?
And now I guess this is weird. Is that why you've got I was trying to kind of make out the scar that was written on your forehead, and I thought it said tar, but I guess it's rat.
I think that's the technology. Everything's, yeah.
Oh, right. So somebody maybe wrote it while you were upside down or something.
Again, if it's, it may or may not be the reason I wear the hat, but that's part of my past that I, you know, didn't really want to be a part of, but it was either, you know, to say you're a rat because you're turning people in who are doing bad, I don't see how that's really a thing. I mean, I thought I was, you know, just being informative. I thought I'd be...
Right.
Yeah.
And you were being helpful.
You're one of the good guys.
I was lowering
my
sentence.
You know, Ron, the thing that I'm just so impressed by, and not to change the subject, but I am just worried about your personal safety, is I'm loving what you're doing with some of these new breads where you're putting raisins in them, you're doing some babkas, you're doing all sorts of cool stuff for communion. I don't think I've ever had a communion bread that had, say, pepperoni and mozzarella in it. It's just such fun stuff you're doing.
Well, I always felt that Jesus would love Stromboli, and it probably if he had grown up in a different region, I know that I always enjoyed it, especially at Christmas time. My mom would make a Stromboli, which is a dough filled with cheese, mozzarella, and pepperoni, and it is really to die for, and you know. Jesus did the ultimate dying for us, so I figured, why not a Stromboli for Jesus?
Oh, it's awesome. And Hallie, when that Stromboli comes around in the basket and you rip off a piece of it and it's just, you know, that cheese is all hot inside and you know, last week mine had pepperoni in it and it also had grain olives or something like that. It was just awesome. I just had, you know, I just really am impressed.
Oh, well, thank you very much. That means a lot. Again, I didn't realize I'd be making Stromboli for 10,000 people. But, you know, I'm happy to do it.
Well, I have to tell you, it's the first time my husband, Lance Labonte, has been able to partake in communion in a few years, honestly, because he became a strict Atkins person.
It's kind of my goal to really stop anybody that is into keto or high protein or gluten intolerant. I just don't see. I mean, we've been eating bread for thousands of years, and now that to say that we can't eat it now, that this gluten thing, I have to say I really believe it's the devil's work. I don't think there is such a thing. Why think about it? Why would you, if you wanted to stop people from partaking and in communion, what would you do? You would create this idea that bread is evil.
This is such a great point.
Yeah. I never thought of that.
You know, Hallie, I am saying the similar thing to my youth right now in Climax because they are all going, hey, I'm gluten-free, I'm vegan, I use different pronouns, I'm pansexual. I don't know what any of these things mean. And I keep telling them, hey, no, you're not. You're going to eat this bread that this great guy has made. And the other week, you know, you really did us a solid, I will say, because instead of just individual Stromboli, we got a party sub and it was awesome. It was basically like a party size sub that like, all the kids could just, you know, hold at the same time and eat off of. And guess what? No one got sick.
Oh, yeah. See, exactly. That's, you know, I just suddenly came to me when I was in jail that I had a lot of time to think, and I was like, well, wait a minute. You know, if you have time like that to meditate on something, you usually come up with you can see the light. And I'd been in there. I was probably 2 or 3 years into my sentence, and it just occurred to me, if I ever get out of this place, I'm going to start baking bread for people.
That is awesome.
And bread is such a biblical food. I mean, we mm-hmm. know that Jesus broke bread. And I want to ask you a question as a bread expert, because it really grieves my heart the way people have turned against bread. And in fact, I don't know if you've heard this, but all white food. Somebody told me, is it white? Then you shouldn't eat it. You shouldn't be eating all these starches and sugars and cheeses and breads. And if I'm very honest, mm-hmm. all I want to eat is cheese and bread. What's better than hot cheese on bread?
Right. Yeah.
But I look at you and I feel like since you opened Body of Christ Bakery, you've been shedding pounds. I mean, what are you now? It looks like you're losing about 10 pounds a month, and I don't know how you're doing it. Are you eating bread?
It's very hot back there. Extremely hot. I probably lose 10 to 15 pounds in water a week. And I put that back on, especially lately with the drinking. But then you get back in there and you just start losing the weight again. It's just kind of a vicious cycle. And that's, you know, if it wasn't for the cocaine, I don't know how I'd be able to do it.
Oh, I thought you were covered in flour. When you're in prison, you know, I've got to imagine that's just an awesome place to go, hey, Jesus, where are you? What am I going to do here? Because, you know, I always sort of imagine prison is a bunch of strong guys, you know, they're always going like, hey, we got to wrestle around and see who's the toughest. And, you know, clearly you probably couldn't be. And so I'm just wondering, like, what did Jesus do for you while you were in prison?
He gave me the power to hide.
Oh.
I was able to fit in a lot of nooks and a lot of crannies and I was able to evade the attackers that way.
That is great.
There was one month where I hid in the belly folds of my roommate. He was a nice...
Did you say belly folds?
Yeah, he was a very large man with a lot of folds to his midsection. And numerous times when I was being threatened by others, he would let me curl up under one of the folds like a lean-to.
Isn't that nice?
Wow.
Kind of like a stromboli. I was like a little pepperoni inside his stromboli.
Wow.
Is that what gave you the idea to do stromboli?
Yeah, it was that kind of that salty, warm space that had me thinking, maybe if I can make this bakery, Lord Jesus, maybe I'll make a stromboli in your honor.
You know, it really reminds me of the Bible story of Jonah in the belly of the whale, Hallie. You know, this guy, he's this little guy, and he's going, hey, I'm going to stick it out in here for a while and really get my priorities straight and really test my faith. And then when you got spit out, look, all these great things happened. You got a bakery, you know, you've healed, your scar is healed a bit. Mm-hmm. At least, you know, you're gainfully employed.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. There was so many times when I would just call out into that man's giant belly button, and in the echoing of my questions, I would get back. I would literally feel Jesus talking to me and saying, just get to that bakery and open a little shop, and I won't and I will help you. I will guide you.
Are you married?
Not anymore.
You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus is close to the brokenhearted. And so I want to give you a little word basket of encouragement that if you have a broken heart, that means Jesus is drawing very close to you. And I also happen to love setting people up. So if you tell me what kind of gal you're into, I would love to set you up on a blind date or something like that.
Well, that sounds great. Just to be clear, I am far from brokenhearted. This was an awful woman. I mean, I don't like to speak ill of people, but this was a horrible, horrible person. Very difficult to look at. Okay. Very difficult to look at. Not
sort of doing it.
Awful hygiene.
Really?
She was, yes. And demeaning and mean. And look, I'm not a tall man. But I didn't need to hear it from her. She's just a woman. She was 6'2". She knew what she was getting when she first picked me up on that first date, literally picked me up and brought me to her breast. I don't, to act surprised that you're married to a little man at a certain point in the marriage is just, I don't know. I don't.
That's cruel.
She was a horrible person. So oh, I am no. far so from brokenhearted. I actually feel free.
I think people who've been in very painful marriages, I think it's a good idea to say, you know what? Now I'm married to Jesus because he never comes home drunk and he don't steal the remote control. Isn't that right?
That's very true. That's very true. And Jesus doesn't make you go under her house dress while she's cooking. And I'm free.
Wow. So kind of like, do you remember in gym class when you were little and they'd pull out that big parachute thing in the gymnasium and all the kids would pull it taut and then you'd run underneath mm-hmm. of it? She was making you do that with her skirts and garments, just sending you under the tent under there?
Yep. That's pretty much, you pretty much spelled it out.
While she's cooking.
While she's cooking. And I would just have to go in there. It was called chore time. And I would have to... It's very upsetting to bring up. I don't want to offend your listeners.
What could you possibly do under there? I mean, what's there to do under a skirt?
Well, as the old joke went with the kids, under there, underwear.
Oh.
Yep.
Did you ever put a bun in the oven?
I'm sorry. Are you insulting my craft?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Did you all ever have any children together?
Oh, no. Thank God. No children.
Okay, that is probably good.
Yeah, she would make me wear a diaper and run around the house, but I think that maybe put that yearning to rest for a while.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess you were a little.
I get it. Little. Yeah, I get it.
You know what, Ron? I'm not gonna lie. I had to wear diapers when I was recovering from a few of my pregnancies. After I delivered my babies, I was in diapers for weeks on end because things would just be falling out everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah. You probably didn't have to run around with a pacifier in your mouth and not be allowed to speak.
So, Ron, what is exciting in the world of bread right now?
Oh, boy, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of heritage wheats that people are trying to return to the natural wheats of a different areas, and trying to get back to the original grains that we used throughout our history back in biblical times.
Cool. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
I see Jesus work so powerfully over and over in prison ministries. I feel like prison is a place where people really, really find Christ. And I
called his name a lot.
You did. Right. That's so beautiful. And just to go back to the big fella where you kind of did the Luke crawling into the tauntaun. Now, I know how it kind of works with these fellas in jail. You know, did he demand something in return for offering you his lean-to? Did you have to like collect cigarettes for him or something?
No, I mean, I don't know if he demanded foot rubs as much as I just felt like I should give them.
Oh.
I felt like if I didn't rub his feet, that maybe it could have gone. He would have wanted more from me in a different way.
And that, you know, and that is very biblical too. You know, Jesus washed the feet of those that followed him, and that's really cool. That you know you were rubbing the feet. What was your cellmate?
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus was your cellmate's name.
I never put that together.
Oh, really? Because you were calling his name a lot.
Yes, but Jesus, I was using the white pronunciation.
You were calling on the Greek god Zeus. Hey, Zeus! And just like when Elijah was trying to call on Baal, and Baal never sent down any, fireballs, you know, if you're calling on Zeus in jail, you're not going to get any protection.
No, I never got Baal.
Ron Hopper was played by Tom Papa. Listen to his podcast, Breaking Bread with Tom Papa, and watch his new stand-up special called You're Doing Great on Netflix. It is wonderful, and he is lovely, and you can follow him at Tom Papa. I'm Holly Laurent, playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, and if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with
purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.